fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. Hope you're doing well this morning. I'm going to take a look again at Galatians chapter 2, which we've been talking about the first couple of days this week. If you haven't had a chance to hear the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. While you're there, you can browse the website. There's a lot of really good material there, free stuff, lots of newsletters, articles I think you'd find interesting. Not only my shows, the Fire on the Earth, Sister Anne's Food for the Journey, our television shows, Crossing the Goal, and Choices We Face. Take a look at the programs if you have a minute. But also, the radio programs, as you know, are there. You can download them and listen to them on your computer or put them on your iPod, iPad, whatever. However you listen to them, they're available for you. The heart of what St. Paul's been talking about, been looking at in Galatians, is the transformation that comes to us in baptism. And the battle, it can be present even now today. Paul's battling against some Jewish believers, those who were baptized into Christ, who taught a false gospel. And the false gospel was to say that the Gentiles who were baptized into Christ need to practice the law. That is, they need to practice the distinctive Jewish law. They need to be circumcised. They need to fulfill the dietary laws. They need to keep the Sabbath, a whole set of things. And adding on to the core of gospel. And Paul's saying, no, that's not the gospel. And if you're saying that the key to being in right relationship with God, that is being justified, this gift that we've been given, that in order for us to live in that gift, that we have to sort of keep it all, or even more importantly, Paul's saying, if we're required to keep the law the way you describe it, then Jesus died to no purpose. Because the law itself could not save us. That's why Jesus came, and we stood in need of salvation. They kind of got the cart before the horse. They got it backwards. Paul is saying, yes, he'll say later in Galatians, as I did yesterday's program, we come into right relationship through faith. That is, we accept, entrust the total abandonment of our heart to Christ, the person of Jesus, to his offer of salvation through his passion, death, resurrection, ascension to the Father's right hand. One of us has passed through death, has begun the new creation. He's living the new life. He's the firstborn of a new creation, free from all sin and all the power of death, all of that. Jesus is completely free of it all. He has total dominion over it. He's living that absolutely free existence in the Father. And the Father is saying through him, this is the offer that we're being given. The love of God poured out in Jesus Christ, we're being offered the gift of eternal life. That doesn't come as a result of my works. I didn't produce the new condition, the new way of life that Jesus gives to me, because literally what happens in baptism is there's a transfer of power. There's a transfer of life, eternal life, God's life, the dynamic life of God that's the source of the creation of all things. God gives to his creatures through Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. And the Father calls us to believe in Jesus, to say yes to him, and to allow Christ, the physician, to come and heal our sin-sick condition and bring us into a new position before God. That's a gift. And the gift is not a reward for my work. That gift is a pure, loving, merciful offering of God the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul said, that's the beginning of it all. That's the essence and the foundation of it all. And he said, what follows logically from that, what follows next from that is to say that love, which is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, comes alive in us, and we begin to live by that new power, and we now have a new power, a new capacity to fill the law full. That is to share in Jesus' yes to the Father, and to begin to live by his Spirit and his grace. And what Paul's very clear on, he said, what counts now is not our works first, but what counts is faith, that is the relationship we have with Christ now, the surrendering of our heart, putting it first, seeking Christ first, and living a life of trust and abandonment to him, and believing all that he's taught us. It's that faith then expressing itself in love. Love is what? Love is the will, the good of another. The love is to will God's yes to us, to say, yes, Father, I receive your gift. Yes, Father, I love you. And Jesus' work in us, what has he done in us? Not only has he died to forgive our sins, he became one of us so that through his death, and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit through the grace of baptism, we literally now become children of God. That's the Father's game plan. You know, it's His ultimate goal for each and every one of us. It's not just to wipe away our sin, but it's to make us something new, to put us in a new condition, a new status, a new place in relationship with God. That, friends, that takes us back to the garden and beyond in terms of what God accomplishes. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He had fellowship with them. God made us for relationship. We're in human relationships now, friends. We desire them. We long for them. We have good ones. They're enriching. They change our life. When they're broken, we're wounded deeply. We are relationship creatures, relational creatures, made for union with others. Because God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a community, a communion of love. And all of creation, everything that is. As I mentioned yesterday, I was on vacation a few weeks back with my wife and some friends. We were celebrating our 30th anniversary, and we were in Italy, and we were staying at this small villa out in the country in Umbria. And it was beautiful spring weather, and we just saw these glorious, lush, rolling hills all around us, leading over to the mountains and seeing the beautiful green in the mountains. Everything's beginning to be in bloom, and you could just see there's just so much beauty, and my heart just lifted to God, saying, this is not an accident. This beauty didn't just come about randomly. This has a source, and it's God. It's God's creation. And God, in His love, He reveals part of Himself, who He is, through His creation. God is beautiful. God is awesome. God is wonderful. But that God made us as the crown of creation, so He gave us this world. We were meant to live with Him in a time here. Jesus came to deal with what separates us, and then He taught us. How do we, as Paul said in Galatians, we read earlier this week, how do we live to God? Well, we live to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, which Paul takes up in chapter 8. Chapter 6 of Romans, he talks about in baptism, the old man is put to death and something new is born. We're a new creation. This is where we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. He gave us power. John in his gospel says, He gave us power to become children of God. Right? To become God's children. No longer aliens, strangers, or enemies of God. We are now God's children. God is a loving Father. He wants us to be in that kind of filial relationship, that kind of relationship with Him that's rooted in absolute trust, which answers the longing of each one of our hearts. God, who is love, has made each and every one of us for love. The power of sin, of self-centeredness and ego and all the rest of it, breaks that relationship. Jesus gives us a share in what belongs to Him, and that is His new resurrected life, His life at the right hand of the Father. One of us, Jesus Christ in His human flesh, human being, is taken into the presence of God the Father. He came to be one of us. He set aside His glory, His power, His majesty. He emptied Himself and became one of us. We were called to serve Him and live for Him. He whom we are called to serve empties Himself and becomes one of us. Why? Because He has to redeem. He has to save. He has to restore this flesh, this race of people to our fundamental purpose and calling, to bring us back to relationship with God. Nothing else, friends, will ever satisfy us. Other things will satisfy us temporarily. They'll distract us. They'll bring us certain kinds of pleasures. But in the end, we will find ourselves empty, lost, confused, unsatisfied, lonely, isolated. Because nothing in this creation can satisfy us. Believe it, friends, you're too much for this creation. As wonderful and as big as it is, you're made for more. And the only way that more will ever be satisfied is in the goal and the object for which that desire was given. We have hunger within us, right? When we're hungry for food, there's an object that fulfills it. Food, right? We're thirsty. Drink fulfills it temporarily. But there's something deeper in us. We're not just physical creatures. We're embodied spirits. We are spiritual creatures in our core. And that means we have an infinite capacity an amazing capacity to love and be loved. We're made to know God. That's the bottom line, friends. We have within us a capacity which was fallen but now restored and brought a whole new level and capacity in the person of Jesus to have relationship with God, all-powerful, all-loving, all-wise, all-holy, infinite, glorious God. That's what it's all about. So beautiful. And so Paul rolls through Romans 6, where he talks about how we're put to death and how sin is dealt with in Christ, and we rise from our baptism into this new relationship as adopted sons and daughters of God. And then chapter 7, he has a discussion about the law, which we touched on Monday and Tuesday. And then the beautiful chapter 8 of Romans, which fills out what Paul says in Colossians, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the declaration of a disciple. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul knows who he is. Do you know who you are in Christ? Are we still trying to live according to the old man? Or are we now alive to God in Christ? Do you know that new power that Scripture talks about, the apostles tell us about, the new life in the Holy Spirit? Is it alive in you? Are you growing in hunger and thirst for God? Are you receiving his forgiveness and his mercy in your life? Are you coming alive to loving God, loving your neighbor? Paul, so his words kind of culminate in this glorious chapter of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. Christ was condemned for us. The condemnation that was due each and every one of us because the sin was put on Christ and he's dealt with it once and for all. And now he says, come and live my life. Let me crucify your sin. Let me put you to death so I can raise you to new life. See, it's God's action in us, friends. That's where it starts. It's not by your power that you're raised. It's not by your power that salvation is possible in your life. It's God who gives it to you as a gift. The work of mercy of a loving father who wants to save his child. So don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let him accuse you. Don't let him get you trapped in the idea to fall back into the law, as Paul talked about in Galatians, where we say, my salvation is all dependent upon my perfect response to the law or my ability to accomplish all the things I'm supposed to on my own. I think we end up living that way many times. You see people maybe began in the spirit and it's easy to end in the flesh. We say, I got it under control, God. I know you just want me to be a good guy. You know, I'm doing good stuff, but I don't really need a lot of input from you. I'm managing my life okay. And it's the human heart drifting away from that deep, total abandonment, that beautiful filial relationship that we're given to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and we begin to isolate ourselves again. And we kind of want life apart from God. We don't want to get too serious about God. And we start the foolish thought that somehow, you know, we're good enough. We're doing good stuff. And so that's enough. More should not be asked of me because I'm a good guy and I'm doing good stuff. So I kind of deserve heaven. We easily get lost in that. I'll pick that up again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.